You know, there's no telling how many times I think about this sermon, and there's not a whole lot that we can do with it. We just know that Jesus went up there and he took a few of his disciples with him, and before him, Moses and Elijah appeared, and it says his face shone like the sun, his clothes became dazzling white, he was transfigured, he was transformed in the midst of them, and it was just something amazing. And they didn't know what to do. They were just in awe and in wonder. And today I think about the gift of the unpredictable Jesus. You think about what would happen if you were with somebody and all of a sudden things begin to change about them so drastically that you could see it. And also that you could hear people talking and then see them no more or hear them no more. I've often wondered if the disciples ever just looked at Jesus and said, seriously? Jesus, just one more thing that we have to try and understand, really? In this passage today, everything that makes total sense to do, the disciples do. And then Jesus does something. He shifts what he wants to be done. The disciples must have been very frustrated that day. Why not build a home for three prophets? Seemed like a pretty hospitable and welcoming thing to do. I mean, if you were going to try to help somebody, wouldn't you try to get a place to stay? Wouldn't you try to welcome somebody? Wouldn't you try to be a good steward of what God has given you? Wouldn't you try hard? Why not tell everyone what they had just seen? All of a sudden, they saw this happening. Then all of a sudden, Jesus has changed. But he doesn't do a lot of explaining about what happened. Why not tell them what they've just seen? This seems like a pretty good example of why they were following Christ in the first place. That they're supposed to go do some things. Why not tell everyone what they've just seen? Jesus tells them to do what? When he comes down the mountain, as we're coming down the mountain, wait a minute, guys, don't tell anybody about what's happened, okay? Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. So here, all of a sudden, you know, they've got all kinds of things they have to do, things that they can't go back and say, wow, you wouldn't believe what happened. It's hard to describe. It's hard to explain. We saw Moses and Elijah and we heard them speak from a cloud. And then all of a sudden we saw Jesus' clothes change. They became brilliant white and his face shone like the sun. He was just, it was amazing. And then all of a sudden we fall down and when we get up, there's Jesus and everybody else is gone. Well, now, I know people that have explained things like that, and we would probably say, what you been into? What's happened? What did you do to alter whatever was going on around you? Have you taken something? Have you done something? But no, he's like, no. But Jesus tells them not to tell. Not to tell. Yes, there's a holy moment here. In the appearance of Moses and Elijah with Jesus. That's just an amazing thing to happen. All of a sudden something happens. And again, this was proof of the divine nature of Jesus, but also the fact that Jesus challenges reactions them. You know, his challenge to them changes their reaction. They're like, what's he talking about? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just, you know, not tell anybody what has happened? And then, can you imagine them talking to one another? Well, what would we tell people? Would they believe it? Too often, we act simply because it's what we are supposed to do. Sometimes we just do what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of folks and help them, and we do that. But what if there are things that we have been doing for generations or for a few days that are simply not what we should be doing? This moment points to the need for us to be discerning and open to the ways that Jesus may want us to be present in this world. Maybe He wants the presence of unexpectedness in the world. You know, sometimes we do what's expected of us. We say, okay, we've done it like that in the church since the beginning of time. And if we change it, somebody's going to get all beside themselves. So just go ahead and do it. But then sometimes we say, you know, why are we doing that? That's just silly. How about, have we ever tried about to do it this way? We may instinctually move towards an action, but having the discipline that you and I have and a commitment to think, to pray, and discern, we have that not only in ourselves as individuals, but also as a community of faith, as the church. We sometimes get pointed to new responses that are beautifully surprising. Sometimes we do things just because it is the right thing to do. And it might be something that might change us. Just like yesterday, when I was this week and asked about the community building, I said, sure. I didn't even think about it. I said, certainly, because Bethlehem needed a place. And I showed an act of radical hospitality on your part, so you can thank me later. Anyway, what we did is I said, sure. And I did not charge them. So don't nobody have a heart attack either. Because that's what we're supposed to be as God's children. We're supposed to allow each other to be in ministry together. And I just said, sure, come. Be glad for you to use it, because that's what we do. Because it was cold, it was messy, it was, you know, they couldn't stand outside and feed everybody. They didn't want everybody in their sanctuary eating. Can you imagine what that would look like? People dropping stuff, people just not being. So we said, Leah, let's do something different. It might change. Y'all, I didn't have a problem with it. It was fine. And yesterday was a good day, and it was a good day that we've been thanked profusely already, and we'll be thanked again, I can tell you. This family has called and thanked us that their mother died, a 90-some-year-old lady, and her children and grandchildren. I've had several calls. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The pastor of the church, Miss Francis, that everybody, we all know and love, and just, you know, people that are doing things differently. You know, but there's surprises sometimes. It doesn't hurt us to do something. We get people all the time running around doing wonderful things. It's amazing. You see, it goes far beyond simply challenging the idea that we too often do things in a certain way because we've done them that way always. Sure, many things need to change, but how expected would it be to discern that not all things need to change? You know, everything doesn't need to change. We don't need to make everything new again. And for the things that we do believe that need to change, what are our expected places toward which Jesus is directing us? If something is going to change, have an action for it. Say, okay, if we need to change this idea or change how we do something, let's think about it. What can we do to make it better? Can we keep this same concept, or we do need to get rid of it and do something different? How do we do it? We need to come together and work, not to say that it might have been good 50 years ago, but maybe it's not relevant for today. You know, Jesus directs our paths. He directs us every day, and He's very unpredictable. He's very predictable, and He's very unpredictable, just like saving grace. It happens instantly, and it happens every day. It's a continual thing. There's that moment when you know it, but it happens every day over and over and over. When you seek to serve Him, when you seek to be a part of His life, when you seek to know what is going on, you see Jesus is there. You and I need a plan and discern while always opening up our hearts and our minds for surprises that our faith may introduce. Are you open to surprises? How well do you deal with surprises? Some people deal with them well. Others are like, wait a minute, stop. We got to think about this. Can't let that happen. Da, 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 da. They got to be in control. Then sometimes you just have to go with it because we all need to be open to God. We need to be open to what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes it's a surprise. It's a scary thing. It's a shocking thing. It's one of those things that will make things different. It's one of those things sometimes that we cannot understand. While we may sometimes react in fear like the disciples, if we remain open to the ways that Christ surprises us every day, we get new surprises. Things happen. Maybe we can join in on that unexpected ways that Christ shows Himself to the world. You see, Christ shows Himself to the world daily. It's how we deal with it, what we're willing to do, what we're willing to take a stand for, what we're willing to put in our corner, what we're willing to say, I believe in this particular thing, or I'm ready to stand up and go forth. Now, that would be unexpected if we are open up to what God is working and doing in our lives. Be open. Don't be stagnant. Don't be afraid. You know, our world changes every day. There are people coming and going. New things are happening. Things don't look the same anymore. Jesus tells us all the time, open up your heart, open up your mind. You know, He gives us things all the time to look for. You know, we watch these disciples. In John's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, they don't go to sleep really, but in Luke's Gospel, guess what? They take a nap for a long time. And here they're in awe. They're just laying there, and when He comes back, He wakes them and kind of says He shakes them. But they've fallen down because of the sheer greatness and the sheer joy and the sheer blessings that have been before them, and they don't know what to think or they don't know what to do. You know, sometimes when those things happen to us, we are so afraid and we don't want to share them with anyone. Sometimes they scare us to the point that we're afraid someone will laugh at us if we tell them. You know, I've listened to people's stories for years and years and years, since I was all my life, really, but especially in the ministry, listening to people tell what God has done in their lives and how things happened and how things changed and how we prayed for something and how God revealed Himself and what God does in the midst of tragedy, what God does in the midst of sickness and death, what God is doing in our lives every day. In the midst of people being at, you know, sometimes even when people are at their worst, when they're in the most pain or whatever's going on, how God comes into that. And we realize that, you know what? God's been there the whole time. God hasn't left. We're the ones who run away. God hasn't left. God uses us to be His people that stand in the gap, that stand up, that are listening, that are waiting for something unexpected to happen. This week, I want you to go into this world that you go to every day, whether it be work, whether it be school, whether it be retirement, whether you're out eating breakfast with your buddies first thing in the morning, whether you're at home eating breakfast, whether you're doing your devotions, whether you're coming to Bible study, no matter what you're doing. If you're out on vacation, think about what God has done and what God is doing for the unexpected things, the miracles that come our way every day. And sometimes we are too busy with our lives sometimes to even recognize what's going on amongst us. Sometimes we're so busy that we miss out on a blessing. Sometimes we're so busy that we don't stop and allow God to use us in a particular way. So this week, as you go, the peace that passes all understanding, go and expect a miracle. Let us pray.